Good morning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22, and we'll read a couple of verses at the beginning of the chapter just to remind ourselves of the study that we began the last time we were together. Genesis chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. As I said to you last time, the word tempt there means to test, put Abraham on trial, as it were, and test his heart, test his affections. That's what God was going to do. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and will come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Now, we emphasized last time, as we began the study, that Isaac was man big. I do believe that. He wasn't a wee lad, as we would speak of, but he was a man in the sense that he was full grown. The reason I believe that from this portion is that he was able to carry the wood for the burnt offering. Now, the wood required for a burnt offering wouldn't have been just a couple of wee sticks that maybe you might see used when you're lighting a fire in the home. No, it was a body that was going to be consumed in this fire, therefore there had to be plenty of fuel. And I'm suggesting that there would have been a substantial weight in the load of timber that was being carried. And no little boy could carry that amount of timber. And it would have been quite a load for a full-grown man. And I want you to remember that. We'll be coming to it later in our studies, the significance of the fact that he was a full-grown man. But do remember that simple truth. Now today we're going to get into the study. We sort of only introduced it last assembly that we were here, but we're going to get into it. And today I want you to notice the place to which Abraham and Isaac were told to go by God and there offer the sacrifice. Look what verse 2 says. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah. The land of Moriah. The word Moriah means chosen of Jehovah, chosen of the Lord. That's a very significant name. Here was a place within the borders of Israel, and it bore this name, Moriah, chosen of the Lord, chosen of the Lord. Now, oftentimes in the Bible, the word land appears, and we might get the idea, you know, of a great area, a very large area. But that's not always the case. That's not always the case. Very often the word is employed just to refer to a very small area, very small area. We have in our country the word townland. You've heard that, haven't you? It's probably not just quite as common as it used to be, but in years gone by, everybody knew the townland in which they lived. This townland here, we're in at the moment is called Cork Hill. Cork Hill. On up the road is Drumsonis. Mrs. Wilson could tell you all about it. Now, it's not a huge land that we're talking about. It's just a territory. 1,000 acres, maybe a little more. So that the word land is often attached to not a whole country, but just a little portion of a country. And that's the case here. He was to go to an area within Israel called Moriah. Now, where that was, we can easily find out. If you turn in your Bible, you older ones in particular, to 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and the verse 1, we can locate very plainly and very simply where Moriah was. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and the verse 1, and we read, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah." So, the land, the region, the area of Moriah was in and around Jerusalem, where the temple was built. And if you go to Jerusalem, or if you get a picture of Jerusalem, one of the most common things pictured is the Temple Mount. Of course, there's no temple on it now. There's Muslim buildings there. But that's where Solomon built his temple. And after it was destroyed, it was rebuilt. And it was in that temple that the Lord Jesus was presented as a baby, etc., etc. It was there that Simeon encountered the Lord Jesus when he was only days old. Took him up in his arms. You remember the story? And he praised the Lord that he had seen God's Christ. And it was on the Temple Mount, on Mount Moriah. There's something very significant about Mount Moriah. And again, we are guided by the scriptures. If you go to the tail end of verse 2 back there in Genesis chapter 22, the Lord says, "And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains." So, the area called Moriah had a number of mountains, or hills. The Temple Mount was one. Could anybody tell me the name of another of the mountains in that area, in that range of hills? Exactly right. Calvary. If you're looking at a map of Jerusalem, over here on the east is the Temple Mount. And these hills continue to the west. And just outside the city walls in the west is one of the hills. And it's called Calvary. And there the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. So you can see the significance of what was taking place here. You can see why God was directing Abraham to take a son and offer him upon one of the mountains in the land of Moriah. God was drawing a picture of what one day would take place when he, God the Father, would have his son sacrificed for sinners. For you and for me. For you and for me. We're looking at pictures of Christ in our studies, aren't we? And here, in what is the fifth picture that we are looking at, here we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going, and I'm inclined to think that the sacrifice did take place on Calvary. I'm inclined to think that. So they were taking their journey, and they came to the land of Moriah, and on one of the mountains there, the sacrifice took place. I think that it was likely Calvary. I've been to Calvary. It's an honour to have been able to be there. In fact, I've been there twice. Not a great number of times. But when you're standing there and looking at that limestone rock, it's not really that high, you know. There is a range of hills, and then there's this prominent rock face. And up there, the Lord Jesus was crucified. And I can easily imagine and have imagined as I've stood looking at Calvary, I can well imagine the disciples who had fled and run away but had quietly crept back again as close as they could without drawing attention to themselves, standing afar off and watching, watching. Just where I would have been. The top of Calvary has become a Muslim graveyard, and you can't get into it. You can't get near it. You can't go up and stand at the place where the Savior was crucified. You can only stand afar off and look. Oh, you would be as close as, say, from here to the road. or the wall at the other side of the road. That's how far you would be away, around about that distance, just like the disciples of old. And as I have stood there and looked and thought of the Lord Jesus, I've also thought that likely some 2,000 years before the Savior was crucified, Abraham and his son stood up there, and in obedience to God, Abraham prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac. A wonderful picture of what God did at Calvary for sinners. Now, the picture here that's given us of Christ is a very full picture, because when you think of what it says here in the verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. There's another part of the picture of what happened when the Savior was crucified. Isaac was laid down upon the wood, and upon that wood it looked like he was about to die. Did not remind you of something? The Lord Jesus carrying his cross. Just as Isaac would have been bowed down beneath the substantial weight of wood that he was carrying, so the Lord Jesus, as they took him out to crucify him, he carried his cross. His cross, because of the weakness of his body, and that was due to the stresses and the strains that he had been under and the torture that he had endured, his body was weak and he stumbled and almost fell beneath the cross. And Simon the Cyrenian was made to carry it instead of the Savior. Oh, there's a wonderful picture here. A wonderful picture. The details are so wonderful. And this was given, as I said, 2,000 years before Calvary took place. Here is Isaac carrying the wood, and here we have a picture of the Lord Jesus carrying his cross. Boys and girls, the reason we have such pictures in the Bible, not one or two, but quite literally dozens, all of them showing a different aspect of what happened at the cross. The reason we have this emphasis is that God wants you to see what took place at the cross. God wants you to understand what took place at the cross. He wants you to grasp the significance of it. God gave his only begotten Son to die at Calvary for sinners, for sinners. In this story, you know how it ends. Just as Abraham was about to strike and slay his son in obedience to God, he was stopped. And he turned and he saw a ram, a male sheep, caught by its horns in a thicket. And he was told to take it, and it would take the place of Isaac, and it would become the sacrifice. Isaac was due to die, but another took its place. Another took his place and died there. Don't you see the picture of the cross? Don't you understand that that's the story of Calvary? The guilty sinner should have died, but the Son of God came. The Lamb of God came and died in the place of the sinner. Do you see him dying in your place? Do you understand that he died in your place? Do you rejoice that he died in your place? Can you understand the picture? May the Lord be pleased to enable you to do that and bless his word to our hearts today. Let's bow together in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will just apply your word, spoken in weakness, Lord. But O God, I pray that it may please thee to apply your word with power to the hearts of every boy and girl in this place. Give understanding. Help them to see the Lord Jesus dying for sinners in the story of Isaac and Abraham on the mountains of Moriah. For Jesus' sake we ask this. Amen and amen.